ladies, for that lovely, lovely song. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Look at verse 6, please. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. Now I have you turn to this portion of Scripture just to show you the names of God. Look at verse 6. There you see Lord, spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, all caps. Lord. That is Jehovah. Where you see the word God in verse 7, with all capital letters, that is Jehovah. Also in verse 7, you see Lord differently than in verse 6. Here it is not all capital letters, it is capital L, small O-R-D. Lord. That word is Adonai. Adonai. Look on down in verse 7, and you see God spelled differently than at the first part of verse 7. There we have God, capital G, small O-D. Where you see God spelled that way, with a capital G, small O-D, know that that is Elohim. Elohim. So here we have these names for the sovereign God, and when we look at these names, we are inclined to think only of the Supreme Being. As we have been pointing out, when the men of God translated the scriptures from Hebrew into the authorized version. Now, this might not apply to whatever version you might have. The code that the translators put into the authorized version was done so that we will know what particular name for God the translators knew that these Hebrew words indicated. These translators knew that a good many people could not read the Hebrew text. So when the authorized version was made, the translators looked at these Hebrew words and they put into the King James Version this code so that either Lord or God would be spelled with capital letters or with a capital first letter and the rest small letters. So that we would know when we see God spelled with capital G, small O-D, as we have it 32 times in Genesis chapter 1, and that is the only name that's given there, Elohim, when it comes to God creating 32 times in Genesis 1, we have the name Elohim. It's a plural noun, allowing for the fullness of God, but allowing for the Holy Trinity, I believe. When it came to making man, then the name Jehovah was used. We are made in the image and after the likeness of God. And whereas Elohim speaks of God's might, of God's power, and indicates that he is faithful to his creation, when it comes to the words Lord, all capitals, or God, all capitals, we know that that is that personal name for God. It is Jehovah. And many Bible scholars are agreed that more specifically it should be Yahweh. The pronunciation of Jehovah was lost because the Jews read those scriptures about not taking the name of the Lord in vain, and so they refused to pronounce it. And the pronunciation of Jehovah or Yahweh was lost. And so eventually there were only those four letters, and you'll see this in the outline, and if you do not have an outline, I'm sorry, I think they're all gone, but there was this tetragrammaton consisting of four letters. The Hebrew had no vowels, just consonants. And so there were these four letters indicating Jehovah, but it was not pronounced. Then the Masoretic scribes, who accomplished a great work so far as recording the scriptures were concerned, and their work is known as the Masorah. But when these Masoretic scribes from the 5th, 6th century on up to the 10th century, when they did their work, they added the vowel points. And they took the vowels from the word Adonai, the A and the O, and put it into those four letters that we now have as Jehovah or Yahweh. And the reason they used the vowels from Adonai so that Jews would still know, whenever they saw the word, not to pronounce Yahweh or Jehovah, whatever pronunciation one would want to take, but they were to pronounce it Adonai instead, and not use that personal name for God. So, we have thought something of Elohim, capital G, small O-D. We have thought something of Jehovah, Lord, or God, with all caps. Tonight we want to think something about the word Lord, capital L, small O-R-D, or Adonai. After the first message, Brother Bruce and I were in conversation. He referred to a certain book, and I asked him that if I could borrow that book. And this particular writer states in his writings that where you have the words Lord God, capital L, small O-R-D, God, all caps, Lord God, this writer suggests that that is referring, or those titles are referring to either God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. And where you have the two words together, Lord, all caps, that is Jehovah, along with capital G, small O-D, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, that is a reference to God the Son particularly. I was interested in that writing, and searching out the scriptures that this writer used, he proves his point. I will have to look further myself, but I greatly appreciated that. Where you have capital L, small O-R-D, and along with it, God, with all caps, Lord God, this writer says it refers to either God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. Where you have Lord, all caps, and God with it, capital G, small O-D, it's a reference to God the Son. And the New Testament quotations, at least the ones that he gave, bear that out. So I just wanted you to look at Joshua chapter 7 if you were not with us when we looked at it before. Now, let's turn to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. I repeat, because this is so important, There have been, always have been those, and will continue to be those, who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So when you have this code in mind, and you go to such scriptures as Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, and you read there where God says that He's going to send someone to prepare the way of the Lord, all capitals, you know it's Jehovah. Someone is coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And then when you go to Matthew 3 and 3, and then in Luke chapter 3, you find where John the Baptist is that forerunner of Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah, who is God in flesh. And we've said, too, that Jeremiah chapter 23 used the name Jehovah or Yahweh when speaking about this one who will come, a branch of David. And Jeremiah says, this is his name, Jehovah or Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord, all capitals, the Lord, our righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, come down, please, to verse 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify, that word sanctify means set apart, the Lord God in your hearts. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The NIV has it, but in your hearts acknowledge Christ as the Holy Lord. The Amplified puts it, but in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge Him as Lord. We know from Philippians chapter 2, there is coming that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. Now, when we come to the New Testament scriptures, we realize that this is a translation from the Greek, the Old Testament from the Hebrew, some portions Aramaic, but overall the Old Testament Hebrew, the New Testament Greek. So when we come to the New Testament, we have some different words. There are primarily two words in the Greek that are brought over God or Lord. In the New Testament, where we have the word God, and you won't see this code now in the New Testament with the caps and the lowercase and everything. You won't see that in the New Testament, just in the Old Testament from the Hebrew. But now in the Greek, where you find the word God, that word is theos. We think of theology, the study of God. Theos. That is the word God in the New Testament. When you come to the word Lord in the New Testament, in most instances, it is the word kurios. Kurios. There are four instances where we read the word Lord in our English, but it is a different Greek word. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, you need not turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter speaks about false teachers, and he says, they deny the Lord, and that word is not kurios. That's one of the about four instances where a different word is used. And that word that is used is, well, let me look at it. I am losing it altogether, but I did jot it down. In fact, I'll give you the numbers in case some of you are interested as to where they are found. The word is despotes. Despotes. Now, right away, you think of the word despot. It means an absolute ruler. Despotes. They deny the Lord who bought them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute ruler. I said I was going to give you the number. You'll have to see me afterwards, because I don't know where it is just now. Now, let's think of this word Adonai and look back to 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer, and so on. The Lord God. This word Kurios, Lord, is used 663 times in the New Testament. And these writers of the New Testament who used this word used it with the obvious consciousness that it is equivalent to the Old Testament Adonai. For example, when you go to Isaiah chapter 40, and you see where Isaiah, the prophet, speaking as God moved him, that the Lord was going to send one who would prepare the way for Jehovah. And then when you go to Matthew 3:3 and Luke chapter 3, you will see where Kurios is used instead of Jehovah. Kurios is used instead of Jehovah. So it does apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah. He is God. Now, for those of you who have the outline, you will see on page 5 that this name, Adonai, in the Old Testament, Adonai, is found over 300 times. It is used for man 215 times. You might say, well, how could a word like this be used of God and used for man also? The word is used as master, as sovereign, as owner, if you please. When used of God, it is almost always, one or two exceptions, but almost always in the plural, and possessive. When you see the word in the Old Testament, capital L, small O-R-D, you will know that that carries the thought of my lords. Possessive. My lords. And it is always with a capital L when it's used of God. When it is used of man in the sense of being owner or master, and sometimes the word sir is rendered, that is a title for one of position. He is master. He is perhaps an owner of slaves, or whatever the case would have been back in those days. Where it is used of man, you will see that the English word is all small letters, L-O-R-D. But understand, that is the word Adonai. When it is used of man with all small letters, it's in the singular. Where you see it for God, capital L, small O-R-D, it is Adonai, and almost always it's in the plural. You might say, well, what is the importance of all of that? It's very important, as I will show you. Turn, please, to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Here is David writing by inspiration of God. And he says in Psalm 110 and verse 1, the Lord. Now right away you see that's all capitals. You know that's Jehovah. The Lord, Jehovah, said unto my Lord. Now there it is with the capital L, small O-R-D. You know that's Adonai. And it's in the plural. Where you have the I to it, like Elohim, it's in the plural. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now I said, where you have the word Lord with the capital L and small O-R-D, it's in the plural. Here is one of the very few exceptions. And I'm giving this to you to show the importance of words. Jehovah said unto my master, my sovereign, my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now the reason there is the exception here where that word Lord is not in the plural but in the singular is because one of the members of the Holy Trinity is singled out. And when you look this word up here in Psalm 110, you will see it's A-D-O-N-A. And the I is left off. The I makes it plural. But the I is left off. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We talked to you about the Herodians. They were political people for the most part. There were the Sadducees. These are rulers of the Jewish people. There were the Sadducees who were the liberals of the day. And then there were the Pharisees who were the traditional religionists of the day. And you will see when you read in Matthew chapter 22 that all three groups came to Jesus to catch him, to entrap him in his words. They wanted occasion to condemn him. For example, when we come down to verse 28, here were the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. They put a question to the Lord Jesus about the woman whose husband died, and according to the Jewish law, if they had no children, then the brother of the dead man would take his brother's widow to wife if he were eligible. And the brother married the woman, and then he died, still no children, a third brother, a fourth brother, on through seven. And here are the Sadducees putting this to the Lord Jesus. And they said, now, Jesus, here's a man who dies, and his brother marries the widow. He dies on through the seven. Now, in the resurrection, they didn't believe in resurrection, but in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And the Lord Jesus in verse 29 said, you're wrong, number one. You're ignorant, number two. You don't know the scriptures. And you do not know or understand the power of God. And here the Lord Jesus takes them back to Exodus chapter 3. And that is where God made himself known to Moses with this name Jehovah or Yahweh. Moses said, all right, you want me to go back to my people? They're going to ask me, what is the name of your Elohim? What shall I tell them? You tell them, I am sent you. So the Lord Jesus, in dealing with the Sadducees, tells them that they were wrong, they were ignorant of the scriptures, and they didn't understand the power of God. And the Lord Jesus goes on to say, in verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and here he goes back to Exodus chapter 3, where God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, not I was the God of Abraham. Now, when God said that to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, Abraham had been dead about 400 years. Isaac had been dead about 300 years. And Jacob had been dead many, many years. And yet God said to Moses, I am the God, not I was the God, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so now the Lord Jesus is pressing this upon the Sadducees and emphasizing the fact that God is life. And as we noted the other night from John chapter 8, when the Lord Jesus said, concerning himself, that those who believe in him will have life. Is it any wonder they wanted to stone him to death? Because they knew Jesus was saying, in essence, I'm Jehovah. All right. Now come the Pharisees. Come down to verse 41 of Matthew 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, now he goes back to Psalm 110. The Lord, Jehovah, and of course this is the translation of it, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools. You see, the Pharisees wanted to condemn the Lord Jesus, and so they put a question to him that they thought he couldn't answer, but he answered in such a way that they had nothing to say. But before they could get away, Jesus in essence says, wait a minute, boys, wait a minute, I have a question for you. What's your question? My question concerns the Messiah. Whose son is he? They said without any hesitation, he's the son of David. What were they confessing? He's a man. He's the son of David. The Lord Jesus said then, why then did David in spirit, that is by the Holy Spirit of God, why did David call him Adon? Not in the plural, but Adon. Why did David in spirit call him Adon? Who has ever heard of a man referring to his grandchild or his great-grandchild or his great-great-grandchild as master and sovereign? My question to you, the Lord Jesus was saying to them, you said that Messiah is a man. Why did David in spirit call him Lord? Adon. They couldn't answer that. In John chapter 19, verses 7 through 10, the Jews said concerning Jesus, we have a law, and by our law he is to be put to death, because he made himself the Son of God. They were saying, in essence, by our law he ought to die because he, being a man, made himself God. That's the reason the Lord Jesus put this question to them. You say Messiah is a man? Why did David say that Jehovah said to my Adon, sit thou on my right hand? How could he be David's son and David's sovereign? They couldn't answer that, and they decided they wouldn't ask him any more questions. You see, the truth of the matter, dear friends, is that Jesus was not a man who made himself God. He was God who made himself man. Adonai. Here is one instance where It is in the singular. You might jot down, if you are keeping some notes, if you do not have the outline, you might jot down also Acts chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, Hebrews chapter 1 and 13, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, because all of these are taken from Psalm 110 and applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's God. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, for example, when He had offered Himself as a sacrifice once and for all, when He finished the work that no one else but God could finish, He sat down on the right hand of God until God would make His enemies His footstool. Now, let's think of this title, Adonai, that is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We are to acknowledge Him as Lord. Now, just what does that mean? Well, I would suggest very briefly at least five different things. Number one, an awareness of His presence. An awareness of His presence. We read in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts. The word dwell is used in the English translation, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But that word carries two thoughts with it, to settle down and to be at home permanently, that He might settle down and be at home in your hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory, an awareness of His presence. Secondly, an appreciation for His person. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. We read in Revelation chapter 5 particularly that He is the worthy Lamb, because He is the wounded Lamb. Consequently, He is the worshiped Lamb. An awareness of His presence, an appreciation for His person, but also an affirmation of His authority. We who have received Jesus Christ as Savior acknowledge Him as Lord. And that word carries the thought of total ownership. He is sovereign over us. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. He is Lord. And in that connection, you need to examine two other words that you'll find in the Greek. Kratos, which is translated might, and exousia, which is translated right. Satan does not have the right over believers. Sometimes he has the might over believers. But the Lord Jesus Christ has the might and the right because He's sovereign Lord. An affirmation of His authority and acknowledgement of His claims. Luke 14:33, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I like the Revised Standard Version that says, he who does not renounce all that he has cannot be his disciple. We are to renounce all that we think we are and all that we think is ours as belonging to Jesus Christ because He's Lord of all. An acknowledgement of His claims. And lastly, an availability for His will. Do you know what the first word was that came out of the mouth of Saul of Tarsus, now the Apostle Paul, on the Damascus Road when he had that encounter with Jesus? What did he say? Give it to me. What did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Kurios. And Luke, Dr. Luke, writes that knowing that the equivalent, Kurios is equivalent to the Old Testament Adonai. He is Lord of all. Have you acknowledged him as Lord in your heart? You know, it seems words, the meaning of words wear down with usage. They're like coins. After a while, an image of a coin is lost because of so much usage. And it seems that this word Lord has become almost meaningless in the Christian community. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That means we are to recognize the fact that we are to be obedient. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Join with me. We sing a cappella. Join with me in singing, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, God willing, on Wednesday night when we go to Psalm 23 and read the Lord, all caps, the Lord is my shepherd. We know that's Jehovah. Let us pray and give thanks for our time together and the food. Now, Father, as we think of the names of God in Scripture, we are made to feel so inadequate. How can we, finite creatures, grasp these precious thoughts of the infinite? How can we have an understanding of who God is? We realize that we cannot apart from the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in each believer, who leads us and guides us into all truth. And Father, I pray, we pray, that such a study as this will provoke us to further personal study. But in the final analysis, we pray that the result of it all will be a deeper appreciation for who thou art and the fact that thou wouldst consider the likes of us as being children of God, being heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. How humbling. And yet we thank Thee and praise Thee for the truth of it all. And Father, we pray that we will equate all that we are and do to our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of our time now next door as we converse together, as we enjoy the food. We pray that Thou wilt be pleased to bless our time there as well. We commend us to Thee, thanking Thee and praising Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good night. Enjoy the meal. Come on over.